This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio is Mike Olson, the CEO at Cloudera. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Morning, John. Thanks for having me. Doing great.
Great. Cloudera, kind of an interesting, fascinating company that if you Google it, you find out everyone's talking about big data and Cloudera and Hadoop. And that's why I want to bring Mike in the studio to give us a perspective, you know, from the perspective of a federal IT professional, what's Cloudera all about? How can it help us solve our problems and move on from there? But before we begin, Mike, give us a little bit about your background and how you wound up working for Cloudera, please.
Well, I'm a technologist by training, bachelor's and master's degrees in computer science from UC Berkeley. I worked in the database industry for about 25 years, sold my last company to Oracle, and was looking for the next thing to do in 2008. Got very excited when I saw what the big web companies, Google, Yahoo, Facebook, were doing with this new Hadoop platform for large-scale big data storage and analysis. Convinced myself that it was going to go broad, it was going to be interesting to the rest of the industry and to government users, and started a company to take advantage of that.
Well, you know, the people at Amazon, Facebook, and Twitter were running into problems. You know, they couldn't cope with all this data, and they had to come up with solutions. But my listeners are struggling with big data problems, too. I mean, just cross the river into the Pentagon, big stuff, big things to worry about. And I think that's important for our listeners to know, well, geez, are the new tools out there? You know, how long has Cloudera been around?
We started the company in 2008. We're commercializing an open source package, though. Hadoop was created in about 2005, 2006 by a guy named Doug Cutting, now on staff with Cloudera. And has been broadly used by a bunch of different companies, internet properties, and now banks and insurance companies and telcos, and significantly, some pretty big government users as well. So although the company is only about 4 years old, the technology that we're commercializing is a good double that.
So the two offerings that Cloudera have, you have what they call CDH and you have the enterprise offering. So maybe you can just outline those for our listeners.
Yeah, CDH, Cloudera's distribution, including Apache Hadoop, is our 100% pure open source Apache software bundle. It is software created by a global open source community for big data management. We're part of that community. We contribute pretty significantly. About half my engineering spend goes to that. That's for data storage, data processing. When you roll that platform out in production, when you're using it to solve problems you care about, in your data center, you need to know that you can keep it running, that you can hit your service level agreements, that your reports are going to be done on time, that you can provision users, and so on. You need administrative management and monitoring support. And that Cloudera Manager is designed to solve. So that is the heart of our Cloudera Enterprise offering. We bundle our management suite with the open source platform CDH, deliver that with 24/7 support, annual subscription basis, much like Red Hat, and deliver that to our customers.
So it's almost like the Linux for large scaling enterprises, huh?
That's a great way to put it. And, you know, I think that's even more true because Hadoop, this open source project, is a lot like the Linux kernel all by itself. It's interesting, powerful, useful, but it needs to be surrounded by applications, infrastructure, data loading, coordination, workflow, those kinds of tools. And really, that's what we've created with CDH. That's a bundle of Apache Hadoop with a bunch of other open source that make it consumable, that allow you to connect to your relational database or to get data in from sensors, that allow you to create and run workload analytic jobs via workflow.
We were talking about you getting on a plane later on today, but it's kind of like a big old jet engine just sitting there in the ground somewhere. Well, hey, Hadoop is great, but you need a wing, you need a pilot, you need to take and organize some of that strength, don't you?
Indeed.
So give us a typical application in the government for something like Cloudera's offering.
You know, I'm going to give you an overall high-level picture, and then I'll dive into some specifics. So what Hadoop is really wonderful at is combining many different kinds of data, structured and complex data. So stuff you couldn't easily fit into a relational database like imagery and documents, combined with tabular data, and then subjected to really powerful analytics. I want to do behavioral analysis. I want to do sophisticated modeling. I want to understand what people like, how they behave by combining data from a bunch of different sources. I can dive into some details in the commercial space. I'll do that later. It's been very successful, for example, for ad targeting and content optimization. But in the federal space, one of my favorite uses is the USA search infrastructure. About 400 websites are now indexed by and search results are delivered out of Apache Hadoop. Great open source infrastructure, scales massively just as it did for Google, and some pretty smart folks in the government have applied that technology to the search problem that the government confronts.
Now that's going to resonate with my listeners. They can go there and go, so that's how they stitched all those things together,
indeed.
Huh?
Indeed.
Great. You know, just I've been on the radio here for 20 years. And I have to admit that in January was the first time I used the word zettabyte on the air. It was kind of like, whoa, kind of moving into the new territory here. And, you know, some people say that 90% of the data created has been created in the last 2 years. I mean, humans aren't sitting there with, you know, checkboxes anymore. We have machines bringing them to data. So that's the issue here is this, all this new data. So we don't look at Cloudera like kicking out relational databases. It's beyond that or maybe parallel with regular just databases, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly right. There are a couple of big trends we see. One is that machines are talking to machines much faster than humans could ever generate data before. And that communication, the patterns of it, the detailed messages that machines exchange are actually interesting telemetry. You'd often like to be able to do analysis of that, what applications are connected to which. And by the way, maybe you can use that to detect anomalous patterns of communication, you know, threats or attacks on your internal infrastructure. So machine-generated data is a big source of the explosion that you just talked about. But in addition to that, it's never been possible in the past, just because of cost, to keep around all the detailed data you collect. If you're a big retailer, for example, you may keep a quarter's worth of all of the individual transactions that happen in all of your stores, because that's all you could afford to put in your massive centralized relational databases. These days, if you'd like to keep a year's worth or a decade's worth of buying history, you can do that by ganging a bunch of computers together and storing the data on all of them, spreading it out using Hadoop. And in fact, many of our commercial customers are doing that. They're not solving necessarily new problems. They're solving old problems over much larger data sets by keeping the detailed data that they used to write to tape and discard.
And that's what Cloudera does. It provides the support, the consulting services, and the training for people with massive new data problems.
I think that's fair. We think of ourselves as a product company. Cloudera Enterprise and the management suite is really central to who we are. But driving adoption of this platform means that we need to help people develop the expertise. Our Cloudera University program has trained 8,000 people since we started up. Cloudera certification is widely viewed now as a great ticket in the industry to a job qualification. And then in addition, as you say, consulting services and tech support stand behind the offering. So we help our customers roll it out.
Yeah, I was at your website this morning, cloudera.com, and there it was, CU, Cloudera University, training people on how to use some of these new techniques, because you can't get a bachelor's degree in it, can you, because it's all too new.
You'd think so. It's actually interesting now. Some of the big universities, particularly computer science powerhouses, are running Hadoop curricula in their undergraduate programs these days. So early days yet, but by dint of the training that we're doing, by the spread of the skills through colleges, I think you're going to see the next generation of infrastructure supported by people who know how to run it because the training is available.
Now, if you look at Google, when they ran into the problem of handling massive amounts of data, they came up with something called Cassandra. And this is something that's beyond Cassandra, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly right. Cassandra is one of several pieces of infrastructure that Google built. Google was the inventor of the Hadoop paradigm of MapReduce, basically massive data stored on lots of computers with computation pushed out to those computers. In addition, though, the Google folks wanted to be able to do high-performance query, fetch individual records that mattered for delivery to their users. Infrastructure like that can be built, was built by Google, and now is available on Hadoop as well, on top of that Hadoop platform. So high-performance data delivery out of Hadoop is possible via a project called HBase, also a part of CDH. And I think you'll see the community, the open source community, continue to evolve the platform in that way. More services, more flexibility, more power over time.
You know, what's interesting about your company is you don't view the people at Google as being competitors. You view them as mutually, almost like a guild working next to each other trying to solve these difficult problems. It's not co-opetition here. It's they're friendly. They're, in fact, they know each other, don't they?
Indeed. And, you know, I would say that the web properties created this technology early because they live a couple of years in the future. They had big data before the rest of us did, but the techniques that they invented matter to the industry at large.
I have to take a quick break. When we come back, talk more about Cloudera. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Mike Olson, CEO at Cloudera.
Engineering, information technology, and intelligence professionals. When you are powered by innovation and guided by integrity, everything is possible. We invite you to explore a future with the largest provider of IT services, systems integration, and training to the U.S. government. Lockheed Martin will be attending several job fair events the rest of this month in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Stop by our booth to discuss opportunities available with programs in a number of D.C. metro locations and overseas. We are seeking cleared individuals with expertise in engineering, information technology, and intelligence analysis. For details on these opportunities and our events, or to chat live with one of our recruiters, visit www.lockheedmartinjobs.com/WTOP and click on events. Everything is possible with Lockheed Martin. Remember, visit www.lockheedmartinjobs.com/WTOP and click on events. Lockheed Martin is an equal opportunity employer.
The Federal IT Challenge is a series exploring the administration's aim to fundamentally change how the federal government purchases and uses IT, and a discussion around one of the biggest goals, reducing the number of federal data centers by at least 40% by 2015. During the show, Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive for VMware, commented,
"Virtualization abstracts the operating system and the data from the device. It provides a certain amount of agility and flexibility from a technological standpoint. Using virtualization and virtual desktop infrastructure to liberate the data from the endpoint device and bring it into the private cloud. That's key. The data in particular, it provides so much more flexibility for multiple devices to be mobile and geographically disparate and still have access to that data."
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.
I have this dream where I'm wading through a crowd. Now and then someone stops and offers me a new job. And it seems like the opportunities are endless. Soon I'm doing the work I've always wanted to do, designing smarter energy systems that transform communities, save millions of dollars, and... Wait, that's no dream. That actually happened. After I got my master's degree in electrical engineering from Capital College.
Capital's master's program in electrical engineering prepares you for some of today's most in-demand jobs. It's conducted online with live streaming audio, so you get the interactivity of a classroom without having to fight traffic to get there. And Capital is one of only 8 colleges and universities nationwide endorsed by IEEE as a provider of a quality engineering education.
I'm living out my dream because of Capital College. It isn't for everyone, but it's perfect for me.
For a virtual info session on graduate programs at Capital College, visit capital-college.edu/radio. That's capital with an O, -college.edu/radio.
Experience GW basketball in one of DC's best college venues, the Colonials Club. As a member of the Colonials Club, you will enjoy a game day atmosphere that is unmatched in Washington area college basketball. Your philanthropic donation and loyal support for GW Athletics provides countless opportunities to our student athletes in pursuit of both their academic and athletic goals. Call 202-994-7325 to join the Colonials Club today and help raise high the buff and blue.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight is Arena Stage. Join Arena Stage Artistic Director Molly Smith and Gala Chair WUSA9's J.C. Hayward at the Golden Gala on Monday, March 26th, featuring Broadway sensation Kate Baldwin and honoring Senators Thad Cochran and Patrick Leahy. This enchanted evening of dining, dancing, and entertainment benefits arts education programs at Arena Stage. For more information, visit federalnewsradio.com. The Community Spotlight is brought to you by Papa John's and Federal News Radio.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Mike Olson, CEO at Cloudera, talking about a new approach to handling databases. And I think when you think of big data, you think of companies like Cloudera, and they don't really compete with the standard database vendors like IBM and Oracle. They're just a different way to handle this problem, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You know, our customers deploy this new platform to solve new problems, problems they really couldn't attack before because big data simply couldn't be ingested or managed before. But that doesn't mean they're throwing away their existing transactional or BI or other systems. So Hadoop is generally installed in concert with the existing infrastructure that customers have and connecting those systems so that you can get information about your users or your customers from your relational database into Hadoop for analysis is very important. Integration is very important.
If you look at the news out of the business in January, we see that Hadoop reached 1.0. So I guess it means it's for real. It's out of beta. Does that mean anything? Is that important, the 1.0? Is that a kind of a benchmark?
It matters a lot, of course, to companies that want to use this software. It matters as well to the community of developers that write it. The decision to go to 1.0 naming was one that the community took pretty seriously. We thought a long time about it. There was even a vote among the contributors. End of the day, was there a really discontinuous improvement at 1.0? No, but what had happened was for many years we had been adding security, reliability, authentication, mission-critical infrastructure that enterprises care about. Finally, we felt that we had enough that we could legitimately call it ready for primetime 1.0.
And what's interesting, I'm fascinated by this, is that many of the employees that you have contribute back to Hadoop willingly, and they're part of that community.
Oh, yeah. You know, there are more than 500 people in the last 12 months who have written code that's got incorporated into Hadoop. My entire engineering team is a little bit bigger than 10% of that, right? That's remarkable for me. This platform is getting improved steadily by developers around the world with lots and lots of skills working on problems that matter to them. That diversity of innovation drives Hadoop forward much faster than any single vendor could possibly do.
You know, traditionally, if you look at the federal government, you say, well, what parts of the federal government really have big tons and tons of information? I keep thinking of weather sites, and I keep thinking of Department of Energy. Now, Department of Energy's got this project called Magellan. Are you involved in that, too?
Yeah, you know, Magellan is actually symptomatic of a program we see breaking out across the industry. So Magellan is really cloud computing for the DOE, standards platform infrastructure. Of course, big data is a big part of the thinking there, right? So we're very excited to be involved in discussions with those folks. But the DOE is merely one of many departments and agencies that we see in the federal government that care about evolving their infrastructure, taking advantage of some of the cloud computing ideas that were pioneered at places like Amazon and Google.
In 2 weeks, we're going to have the CIO from Centers for Medicare and Medicaid on the air, Tony. He's going to come in and we're going to talk about many things, but talk about massive amounts of data. Just bioinformatics alone in of itself, that is an application for this technique.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, I think it's important to pay attention, though, to the fact that it's not merely the amount of data that you have to work with, but also the relative complexity, the variety in that data. If you've got complex data, you've often been able to use simple file-based systems to analyze, for example, genomic sequences. But if you want to combine that information with publications from the medical literature, with relational data that you've collected as a result of patient trials and so on, you've got a real variety of data, the analytics you run, and the system you need to combine data of that variety demands a platform like Hadoop.
And I think bioinformatics is just a good example. I think what a lot of federal leaders are looking at is they're saying, we're going to expose this data to the citizens, and the citizens can take advantage of data and make inferences from it. And that's what many of my listeners want citizens to do, is they say, we have all this data. We're going to open it up to you and let you take advantage of it, and you can take advantage of it through some of the tools that you offer.
I think there's no question that democracy is flat out improved when individual citizens can understand what their government is doing. I think the initiative to publish data, really the open data initiative the government's running, is fundamental to democracy and freedom. And I'm really pleased to see it.
I like open government, of course I do, and open source software, completely different, of course. And a lot of people say, well, you know, the problem with open source software is that you do have to have a Stanford PhD to sit there and help you use it. And maybe that's what Cloudera does. It steps in and says, well, you know, you may not have to hire that that PhD from Stanford or MIT or wherever, because we'll give you some ways and capabilities. And in fact, you can test drive out the software and figure out if it applies for you as well.
I'm going to confess that Hadoop is, and for sure historically has been, much harder to use than a relational database. And that's really because the skills just aren't there on the ground. As you say, it's good to have a Stanford PhD if indeed you want to pick up this platform. Now, we've been working for about 3-4 years to make that easier. We think we've done a very good job of easing adoption. I'd say that for a reasonably competent technologist, downloading, installing, using Hadoop, and using Cloudera Manager is not that hard anymore. But I'd also say open source software typically starts out complicated and more fractious than commercial alternatives were historically, but evolves in the right direction. Think of MySQL. Think of Linux. I mean, these are very easy systems to ingest and use now. And in fact, they're ubiquitous in the government and in industry. I predict Hadoop does precisely the same thing.
Let's, you tossed out that term very casually, MySQL. There are some listeners who know all about MySQL and its origins and roots. Maybe just for the benefit of some of our non-technical listeners, you can differentiate SQL with MySQL and NoSQL. Maybe that's the top three that may confuse some of my listeners.
So at the top of the broadcast, I told you that I am a relational database guy by training. And let me confess SQL. That as a result, the word NoSQL just drives me crazy. I don't know why we characterize systems on the basis of something that they don't do. Right?
It's not a car. What is it? Not a car.
That's exactly right. So look, there's lots of innovation happening right now in the industry for data management. Lots of different kinds of systems, lots of different interfaces. A bunch of those, high performance record delivery for web style applications, are glommed together in the category NoSQL. If you look at them individually, hugely variable, very, very different, right? What is interesting to me, though, is that relational databases still have pride of place. Document management systems matter. This new platform, Hadoop, invented by the web properties, is going gangbusters in the big data space. These NoSQL alternatives are coming into the data center to solve specific problems. Used to be the only technology you would find in the data center was a relational database. These days, enormous variability, lots of power, lots of special purpose solutions aimed at particularly difficult problems.
Interesting. Apache, is it based in San Francisco as well? The whole idea of Apache, is it based? Where is that based anyway?
Well, the Apache Software Foundation has a locus, that is a bunch of people who live in the San Francisco Bay Area, but it's a global organization, all volunteer driven. It is a group that cares about collaboration on software. Open source software is what they care about. Not particular projects, not really politics, but creating a framework for individuals, wherever they may be, to work together to share the development effort to create great software packages. It's also a licensing philosophy. Make this stuff as easy as possible to ingest, non-threatening, doesn't infect the rest of your software with viral-style licensing. So it is a place where lots and lots of volunteers, lots of developers have come together to create great software.
The reason I ask is because your company is based in that area, and you've hired Doug Cutting, who is one of the Hadoop creators, isn't he?
Indeed. In fact, Doug is the chair of the Apache Software Foundation. So as I say, there's a real locus. A bunch of folks who care about open source software do live and work in the Bay Area, but others are spread across the U.S. and across Western Europe and elsewhere.
Great. We'll have to take a quick break. When we come back, talk more about big data. And I was writing down notes as you were speaking, and I'm thinking that the word big is too limiting, because there's all kinds of issues like variety and volume and all kinds of issues that are much different than big. And big is maybe too limiting a topic to describe what Cloudera can handle.
Yeah, talk about that when we come back.
Yeah. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Mike Olson, CEO at Cloudera.
Here's Richard Hale, Chief Information Officer, Office of the Secretary of Defense, on the Federal Executive Forum on Cybersecurity, sponsored by HP Enterprise Security.
So we need more core technologies that are much less susceptible, right? We think those can be designed. We think those can be built. And then we need a lot more technologies that give human beings more reliable, more understandable cues about what's safe and what isn't.
Right.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Worried about cyber attacks, cyber espionage, and advanced persistent threats? HP Enterprise Security, powered by ArcSight, Tipping Point, and Fortify Solutions, gives you 360-degree security monitoring, enabling you to detect incidents, proactively test security to protect applications, and block attacks with adaptive network defenses. It has platform integration to help manage your agency's risk. Learn about HP Enterprise Security Solutions, powered by ArcSight, Tipping Point, and Fortify. Visit HPEnterpriseSecurity.com.
Giving you the edge on healthy living, here's Mayo Clinic Medical Edge. It's that time of year. The air is dry, the temperature is dropping, and your skin starts to feel more like sandpaper.
The water that your skin naturally makes to protect itself and seal itself is given away more to the air and diffused away from the skin. That will naturally make your skin more dry and cracked. That makes it painful and itchy and predisposed to infection.
Dr. Don Davis, a Mayo Clinic dermatologist, has three words to help protect your skin. Moisturize, moisturize, and moisturize.
So if you have to moisturize during the summer, you're definitely going to have to kick that up several notches and moisturize even more in the winter.
Now, all moisturizers are not created equal. Dr. Davis suggests something that is hypoallergenic while avoiding things that contain strong perfumes, glitter, or abrasives. And if you feel the need for something that penetrates deeper, look for something that's more of an ointment than lotion. For more information, talk with your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org. I'm Tracy McCray.
And now the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Agencies don't seem as gung-ho on telework as the White House or lawmakers would have it. Maryland Congressman John Sarbanes and Virginia Congressman Jerry Connolly sponsored the Telework Enhancement Act of 2010. They recently asked the Congressional Research Service to find out how agencies are applying the law. Turns out the Department of Veterans Affairs allows just 12% of its employees to telework. Elsewhere, many feds keep going to the office even when they have permission to work from home.
Attention new federal employees. WEPA is currently offering up to $100,000 of life insurance on a guaranteed basis to those individuals within 180 days of their original federal hire date. No medical exam or physician's reports required. WEPA, a nonprofit association founded in 1943, provides life insurance at rates significantly less than a federal program. WEPA also offers premium refunds and a college scholarship program. Visit WAEPA.org to learn more. Once again, WAEPA.org.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
You can stay in a mansion house at the Hampton Inn Col Alto in Lexington, Virginia. This is really an unusual blending of a historic home and a modern Hampton Inn in a truly beautiful setting down in Lexington. You can stay in one of the mansion rooms for a reduced rate of $169 during February. And find out more about that in a story that begins on page 34 of the February Recreation News.
About something a little bit closer.
On February the 18th and 19th, you can head over to the Virginia Wine Showcase at the Crystal City Marriott from 11 to 6 each day. There are going to be 300 Virginia wines to taste and food and demonstrations as well. There's all the information you need to kind of further check this out on page 30. And you can also find out how to get a discount coupon to get into the Crystal City Marriott and the Virginia Wine Showcase.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Mike Olson, CEO at Cloudera. I imagine Cloudera has some kind of a blog for our listeners. People, do you contribute to that blog as well?
I write, but less often than the tech staff in the company. Yeah, we host it at cloudera.com/blog, and it's cleverly named the Cloudera blog.
It's not your job there. I think it's your job to talk to people and let them know what the company's doing. I mean, there's plenty of smart folks there that can contribute to that blog. My blog is called the Tech Tuesday blog. I've been on the air in Washington, D.C. for 20 years on Tuesdays. So it's the Tech Tuesday blog. I'll be talking about this fun interview. You know, it's really so much fun. I mean, you got some funny names of some of your Hive, I mean, Pig Latin. What are all these things anyway?
Well, you know, We talked a little bit ago about CDH, the open source data management platform. It has Hadoop at the center, right? That's for data storage and processing. But data storage and processing, as great as it is of no use if you can't get data in and out easily. So projects like Scoop and Flume were created to solve that problem. If you have data in the system, you want to ask questions of it, you need query tools. Hive and Pig are examples of tools that were created to do that. Oozy is the workflow and scheduling engine. What you learn here is that when you let open source software developers, when you let engineers name projects, they come up with pretty interesting names.
Yeah, well, Oozy, I would think, is an interesting one, isn't it?
but if you're an enterprise user, if you're a person who wants to deploy this infrastructure, what you need to know is that there's a bundle of software, the core platform plus surrounding infrastructure, that's easy to get, easy to deploy, easy to use. Forget the goofy project names. This stuff is bundled up, packaged, and consumable in a very, very easy way.
There is a hamburger place in town here called Five Guys.
Yep.
It's a guy and his four sons, and they started in Falls Church, and they just started this hamburger place. When I look at your company, it's kind of like Four Guys. So tell us about the Four Guys.
Well, in the summer of 2008, four of us came together. As I said, my background, relational databases, I left Oracle and got excited about Hadoop, decided I want to start a company. My three co-founders came out of Google, Facebook, and Yahoo, respectively. Each of those people, each of those companies, had rolled this platform out in production. So while I understood how enterprises needed to consume data management platforms, these three guys had built, used, run, and in fact, helped develop Hadoop, that open source platform. The four of us together, convinced that there was a big opportunity, got together, decided to do that.
It's kind of like you're the choir leader and they were the three singers all singing in harmony or something like that. How are the four of you all together?
Well, I'd like to think something like that. I will tell you that each of us brought unique skills to bear and each of us made a significant contribution. I certainly don't think I could have started the company. I didn't know the platform nearly as well as guys like, you know, my co-founder Amar Awadalla, Jeff Hammerbacher out of Facebook do. They've made it much easier for me to bring this thing to market.
You know, while you were speaking in the last block, I wrote down big, and the word big is just, it's too limiting. I mean, it doesn't describe exactly what you're trying to handle, because you said it's just not a matter of a large database. No, it's a matter of a database that changes, and the three Vs are, of course, volume, variety, and velocity, because it changes a whole lot in addition to volume and different types of data. So big is almost too limiting a word, isn't it?
I think that's right. You know, volume, variety, velocity are the right adjectives to use when you're describing this stuff. When you and I were talking during the break, you know, you made a joke about Caesar, Veni, Vidi, Vici, I came, I saw, I conquered. A lot of people look at this kind of data. They come, they see, and then they panic.
Caesar never said that because he never panicked.
What makes big data a challenge, and it doesn't matter if it's enormous amount or if it's a variety that's enormously complex that you've never dealt with before, or if it's just showing up at the end of a fire hose, it's really showing up fast. What makes it a challenge is that it doesn't easily fit into the data management systems you've got today. Maybe the volume just makes it too large to cost effectively put in a relational database. Maybe the variety of that data makes it impossible to combine in any existing legacy platform. Maybe you just got to be able to catch the stuff streaming off that fire hose, get it down to disk, and sort it out later, analyze it later. Hadoop was designed to solve those problems for the web properties. Turns out, though, you don't have to be Google. You don't have to be Facebook. First, you don't need petabytes of data, mere terabytes. And mere terabytes is kind of a funny word all by itself, right? But mere terabytes will suffice. More to the point, though, this platform gives you enormous flexibility, lets you build a huge variety of applications. We were talking earlier, bioinformatics, government search. These are very different domains, very different kinds of data, very different problems that run beautifully on this shared infrastructure.
You know, back in the 1980s when you were learning relational databases and how to handle those, I mean, you never dreamt of status updates. I mean, in the 80s, no one talked about what's your status update and changing hourly. It was all you could do to get a 28.8 modem to work. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about status updates. So many of the ways that data are handled now, we talk about name, address, telephone number. I mean, those are obvious fields, but there's new ways, and it's just, it has to be, it's almost a whole different method of approaching a problem than the old traditional methods.
I think that's right. And, you know, status updates are a great example. One of the places where Hadoop has been so powerful has been in the social networking space. At LinkedIn or at Facebook, It's who you know, who are your friends, who are your professional colleagues, and systems that can catch that information, build those networks, and then reason about them. Well, John, the fact that you and I have met maybe means that we share another acquaintance that we mutually know, and the system can reason about that, who we may know, who we may like. You can imagine lots of other domains. People that do business together are likely to share vendors or customers. Or in applications that matter, for example, to the intelligence community. Bad actors in one place may know, may be related to bad actors in another. Creating those networks, reasoning about them may well be interesting as well.
I think we can read between the lines here. There are organizations who are listening to this broadcast who may work with operators who have malicious intent. I'm trying to phrase this very carefully. And if there are persons in the world with malicious intent, there are ways to use massive amounts of data to maybe discover what their intentions are.
Let me back off from the part of the conversation where we need to be quiet. Let me actually cast this in commercial terms, right? So if your responsibility is managing an internal network, you want to pay attention to threats, to attacks that may be coming from outside. It's not enough to simply store virus files, signatures, or to understand the threats that have hit you before. Bad guys are constantly thinking about new attacks. You want to look for anomalous behavior. You want to record the activity on the network and then examine that sea of individual events for patterns. Systems that can reason about that, they can draw lines among different events, notice the delays among them and when those delays vary. Systems like that are enormously flexible and powerful. They can detect problems you never forecast before. Hadoop is used in precisely that way. So I think you can generalize from that to lots of other security style applications.
And we'll limit the conversation to that because we're not going to go down any roads we don't want to get thrown in jail for. If you look at Gartner's top trends for 2012, look at mobile, big data, and social. Mobile, you know, machines creating information. Big data is part of the information being created, and social is it's all fusing together into opportunities for understanding all of this new information.
That's exactly right. I agree entirely that those are the three biggest trends. I think they mutually reinforce one another. As you say, mobile devices generating lots more data. Social networks create lots more complexity to reason about. And then the big data platforms that are emerging, Hadoop in particular, allow people to manage, understand that stuff better than ever before.
If you go to YouTube and you type in Cloudera, you get all kinds of interesting interviews. One of the interviews is one of your colleagues, Jeff Hammerbacher.
That's right.
And he talks about when he was in college, he learned a lot about databases and just the whole concept of large flows of data. It kind of fascinated him and tried to understand how people can manage that. I mean, this is really what's going on now in 90s and the 80s. You're worried about megabytes of data. But now people like Jeff can think about what's an efficient way to manage large amounts of data that are rapidly changing.
Well, in fact, Jeff was one of my co-founders back in 2008. So he was out of Facebook. He is responsible, really, for creating Facebook's big data infrastructure. Facebook, much in the news just lately, based on the upcoming stock offering that they're going to float. And I would say much of that value driven out of Facebook's analysis of the data that it manages. But yeah, what's fascinating today is that we can ask questions of petabytes of data. We can answer those questions. We couldn't even have posed them 10 years ago.
Take a quick break here. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Mike Olson, CEO at Cloudera.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070, AckermanSecurity.com.
Powered by the latest second-generation Intel Xeon processors, new HP ProLiant G7 servers are a perfect high-speed solution for lowering costs, improving utilization, and reducing server sprawl. GovConnection, a federal elite HP partner, can show you how together they can power your data center into the future. Talk to GovConnection's experienced federal sales team, where service and commitment to the customer are priority one. Call 800-800-0019 today.
Vitamin D and older women.
From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Vitamin D can help to preserve bones, so it can be good for older women. But a new study indicates something the vitamin can't do, help them to live longer. Researcher Charles Eaton of Brown University examined about 10 years of data on about 2,400 postmenopausal women to see if women with more vitamin D lived longer. But that's not what his closer look found.
Once you adjusted for the other known risk factors for mortality, then this association was no longer present.
Eaton suspects vitamin D got soaked up in fat because the lack of benefit was most noticeable in women with broader bellies. The research in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Paul Gurman, managing partner and founder of Gurman & Company, CPAs. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. To learn more about us, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
If you are facing advanced illness or the end of life of a loved one, peace of mind is in short supply. Fortunately, pain-free comfort care is available from the Washington Home and Community Hospices, a not-for-profit organization with a holistic team of doctors, nurses, caregivers, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers. The team comes to you in your home or wherever you call home in D.C., Montgomery, or Prince George's County. For your peace of mind, call them day or night for a complimentary consultation at 866-234-7222.
What is transformational leadership? How have government leaders successfully led transformations and what they considered before undertaking such initiatives? Join host Michael Keegan next week as he explores these questions and much more with Bob Reisner, author of the recent IBM Center report, A Leader's Guide to Transformation, on the Business of Government Hour.
Hey, Eagles fans, tickets to All American University men's and women's basketball home games in Bender Arena are on sale now. Get them online 24/7 at AUEagles.com or by calling the Athletic Ticket Office at 202-885-TIXX. That's 202-885-TIX. Make your plans now to be part of another historic season in Bender Arena. Catch the Eagles' next home game Wednesday, February 15th against Navy at 7:30 p.m.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Tired of playing catch-up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
The Department of Defense faces some big changes in the coming years. I'm Federal News Radio's DoD reporter, Jared Serbin. We help you track those changes every Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 3 with On DoD. Each week, we'll talk one-on-one with defense experts and senior managers about the policies, programs, and innovations that affect warfighters and how the military will continue to meet its mission. That's On DoD, Wednesday afternoons at 2, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Mike Olson, CEO at Cloudera. If you'd like to follow Mike on Twitter, it's at Mike Olson. And if you want to follow me, I'm at Ray Gilray. And I'll be talking about this interview because it's whole lot of fun. Now, this is the part of the show where the listeners are scratching their head going, well, let's see, this guy's been involved in databases for 20, 30 years. Let's see if he's really a card-carrying nerd. Let's see what he's got going on. So I'm going to ask you my patented technology question. So, year of your first computer?
1977, Apple II, serial number 125, built by the Steves in the garage.
That is big nerd points. Here, your first cell phone.
You know, I was trying to think about that. It must have been 1991 or so.
91, that's respectable. And we have a Twitter feed, and we have a blog, but it's more of a corporate blog, so you lose points because it's not a personal blog. And what kind of online personal backup do you use?
We use at work Box.net and Dropbox, but at home I use Jungle Disk to Amazon Web Services.
Okay. And kind of smartphone you have?
I'm an Android guy right now, moving likely to the next iOS form when the next Apple phone comes out.
And how many apps do you have on your Android?
Ooh, 3-4 dozen.
Okay, just in the dozens, okay. And what kind of tablet devices do you own?
Just an iPad.
Fine. And social networking sites you participate in?
Facebook and LinkedIn, most actively, certainly Twitter.
All the right ones. And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
Last book I read was paper. The last electronic book I read was Steve Jobs' biography on the iPad because it seemed like the right way
paper.
To do that.
Paper, you were so close to being a card-carrying nerd. So close, yet so far. You dropped to the geek category. That's pretty impressive. 1977, now there is something there.
Well, it gives me something to work toward anyway. I appreciate that opportunity.
Yeah, great. 1977, I may have to fly to California and take a look at that thing. That's really something. The Smithsonian might be interested. You know, there's so many different ways to go down. We talk about structured data. We can talk about support and training and all kinds of federal applications that are already using Cloudera. But I want to ask you, where do you see Cloudera heading in the next 5 years? Get the crystal ball out, and when you fly back and have lunch with Jeff tomorrow, maybe you can tell him, well, here's where I see you going in the next 4 or 5 years. Or where does Jeff want to take the company? And maybe you can just maybe help him and the other three guys coordinate it, huh?
Well, let me back up and talk a little bit what I think is going to happen in the market broadly. I honestly believe, and I watched this unfold in the 1980s when I was an engineer working for some of the early relational database companies, I honestly believe that we're watching the emergence of the successor to the relational database market. I think that big data is going to be fundamental to the way we reason about business and the world. I'll tell you, honestly, I think that in our lifetimes, John, we're going to cure meaningful cancers. We're going to discover new ways to produce and distribute food. And that will be data-driven. We'll learn these things with information technology. We're going to be able to process data in new ways and new volumes. Now, if that's true, then this market that we're pioneering right now ought to be like the relational market, worth tens of billions of dollars a year. I'd love to see Cloudera as the leading company in that space. If we indeed forecast that kind of growth, the leading company ought to be able to stand alone long term. There ought to be a rich ecosystem. It's not just my company, but many other vendors creating applications and visualization tools, helping people reason about the information available to them. I'd love to be part of a much larger organization 5 years from now, but I'd also love it to be named Cloudera.
No, what I think, you know, when I see the other three folks in your organization, young guys, these guys are going to have to not only work hard, but they're going to have to find that creativity hat and put the creativity hat on as well. And so I think there's the challenge there.
I think that challenge is incumbent on everybody in the company. I mean, clearly the founders set the tone, but we've got a remarkable team, great technologists, great business people, great salespeople. All of us need to envision the future and then execute flawlessly. Nothing but that for the next 5 years, and we should be okay. It's an enormous challenge, of course, but I think that the stakes, the opportunity in front of us are absolutely huge. You're right, though. The world is changing. Data is the reason that it's changing so fast. And if we're going to be a part of that, we've got to be very smart and work very hard.
I've had those award winners from IBM on the air. I don't know, they have some kind of award where they let people just think for a couple of years. And real smart people. I mean, there's plenty of bright people. Look at the people at Google. Not exactly the bottom of the class there. And look at the people at Facebook. I mean, Zuckerberg, I mean, he doesn't hire stupid people. So, you know, you're not coming up against, you know, the high school dropouts of the world, are you?
No, I like our hiring. I think we brought on a bunch of great folks. I will say that having been an academic for a while, and now having been in industry for a while, I think the chance not just to think hard about hard problems, but also to build systems that solve it is hugely valuable. That feedback loop, actual customers rolling this stuff out in production, solving real problems, teaches us a whole lot. So love the job that we've been doing hiring. Certainly our biggest challenge is finding great people, bringing them in. We've been doing okay, but that will remain a critical focus for the company.
I think what's interesting also is that many of the key people don't sit behind a desk. They're like you. They get out and maybe visit accounts, visit customers, visit federal customers and say, look, we got some talent here. What are the issues you're trying to solve?
We need to understand the variety of data, the variety of business problems that clients have. But then in addition, we need to recognize that the actual users of the data, our customers, know a lot more about those problems and that data than us. We bring our expertise to them, but watching them apply that expertise to their unique problems teaches us a lot and also forces the platform to get better, forces the platform to get more general. I think Hadoop is going to continue to improve pretty dramatically over the next few years as a result of that broad adoption.
You know, when I look at all the different federal folks I've had on the air, I keep coming back to the medical thing, and people like at the FDA looking at all these different, this longitudinal data, is all kinds of information they're trying to prevent people from getting sick. And I think of the applications in the health area more than anything. I'm sure there's applications otherwise, but it's just, I mean, just take a look at the vaccines out there. Take a look at all those studies. I mean, it just is hard even to list them all.
I think that's exactly right. In fact, if you want to look at an interesting story, if you go to the Cloudera blog, now maybe a month or two ago, one of our data scientists, a guy named Josh Wills, wrote a story about work he'd done with one of our clients examining adverse drug events. You take a couple of medications together, they interact in unexpected ways. Can we collect an enormous amount of data about interactions like that and then reason about them? I think what's so exciting about data applied to real-world problems is we can ingest that data, we can make deductions about possible interactions, and then we can help scientists decide what the next wet lab experiment is to run. Data can help guide research, make it much more productive, I think, as a result.
Yeah, that kind of puts this enormous amount of volume of data, puts it in working boots. It's like, okay, well, my grandmother's taking these three meds. She's going to add a fourth med, then what's going to happen? Well, that can't be just someone guessing. I mean, someone has to go to the FDA. Someone has to go somewhere and say, well, we got these four medicines. We got this fifth one. Now what's going to happen? The complexity gets, it multiplies and multiplies and multiplies in the variables of the human and the blood condition. And the, I mean, lots of variables.
Indeed. And that's why you really need a big data solution. You want to be able to consider all of those variables and look for patterns among them. You don't know where those patterns are going to be. You can't predict that. You've got to be guided by the data. And you need a platform that can store all of it in order to do that.
That's why you may not be able to take that problem and pop it into a relational database. Although relational databases are going to be here for a long time. They're not going anywhere because they do solve problems as well.
As I said earlier, you know, we see those systems solving critical problems for our clients in production today, and sharing data among all of these platforms is absolutely critical. If you discover great insights in Hadoop, it may well be that you want to load the digest, the summary of that, into your RDBMS so that as part of your enterprise data warehouse, you can fly through the data cube in using existing tools. Likewise, you may have information about users, about events, about transactions in your RDBMS that you'd like to analyze in Hadoop. So moving data among those platforms, absolutely critical.
Has there been much international interest in your company?
We are growing overseas pretty quickly right now. The beautiful thing about open source software is we don't need to guess when the international market is ready. We can simply observe who's downloaded CDH, who's using Hadoop overseas. We can decide where to move, guided by actual adoption. It's pretty powerful.
Interesting. We'll have to conclude this interview now. I have 5 pages of questions, but perhaps 6-8 months we'll come back and it'll be a whole new world, I imagine, in 6-8 months from now, maybe way beyond collecting data from machines like mobile devices. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Mike Olson, CEO at Cloudera. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks a bunch, John. I really enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.